Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Creator and Sustainer of all things. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafi anbiya'illahi, Sayyidil Mursaleen. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most respected of all prophets, the most honored of all prophets, Nabiyyina Muhammad, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and likewise all of his family and companions in entirety, amma ba'd. As for what follows, then by the grace of Allah Ta'ala alone, we've gathered on this afternoon of Saturday, the 25th day of the month of Rajab, in the year 1438, with our brothers locally here at Al Masjid Al Awwal in the city of Pittsburgh, and with our brothers via Telelink in Florida at the Tarbiyah Initiative, Masjid Quba, and wherever else our brothers are listening in, we return to our study of Al Usul Al Thalatha, the three fundamental principles, authored by Shaykh Al Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab At-Tamimi rahimahullahu ta'ala, and we use as a guide the explanation of the virtuous scholar Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we've reached page 130 of that printed explanation that's widely available, and we're going to continue at this time our discussion on the topic of Al-Hijrah, reading from the text of the book firstly, and then from the commentary of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih, rahimahullahu ta'ala. On page 130, we find the text of Al-Usul al-Thalatha, وَالْهِجْرَةُ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, and making hijrah, emigrating, is an obligation upon this ummah, upon this nation, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min balad ash-shirki ila balad al-islami, that is, to leave the lands of polytheism to go to the lands of Islam, wa hiya baqiyatun ila an taqum as-sa'atu, and that obligation remains upon this ummah until the establishment of the last hour. Wa dalilu qawluhu ta'ala, and the evidence is the statement of Allah the Most High, that which in it is guidance for the first part of this ummah all the way to the last part of this ummah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, verily those whose souls are taken by the angels, meaning at the times of their deaths, ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, oppressors of their own selves, meaning sinful people, قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ, they say to them, the angels say to them, what have you been doing, or what situation are you in? قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, they say, we have been downtrodden and weak upon the earth. قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا, they, the angels say to them, was not the earth of Allah expansive and spacious for you to emigrate and move about within it? فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ, such people, their abode, meaning in the hereafter, is Jahannam, the hellfire. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, and what a terrible place of residence or place of return. إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حِيلَةً وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا, except for the truly weak and downtrodden, the incapable of men, women and children, who had no money, no way to finance movement, nor did they know how to move about the earth, meaning incapable of actual movement geographically from one land to another. فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ, then such people, it is hoped that Allah would excuse them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًا غَفُورًا, and verily Allah is one who excuses constantly and one who forgives. That's from Surah An-Nisa, the 97th through 99th verses. In commentary, the virtuous scholar Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said, "Fi hadhihi al-ayati dalil." In this ayah, in this verse, there's evidence. "Ala anna ha'ula'i alladhina lam yuhajiru ma'a qudratihim 'ala al-hijrati." That those people who did not make hijrah, they did not emigrate to the lands of Islam, whilst they had the ability to do that, whilst they had the capability to emigrate, أَنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمْ, that the angels take their souls, وَتُوَبِّخُهُمْ, blaming them and rebuking them, وَتَقُولُ لَهُمْ, and saying to them, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. Was not the earth of Allah, the land of Allah, was it not spacious for you to move about in it? أَمَّا الْعَاجِزُونَ عَنِ الْهِجْرَةِ. As for people who are incapable of making hijrah, مِنَ الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ, from those who are weak and downtrodden, incapable, فَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, and such people are excused by Allah, لِعَجْزِهِمْ عَنِ الْهِجْرَةِ, due to their incapability of emigrating. وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, and Allah does not burden any person or any soul beyond its scope. Then back to the text of Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the author adds more evidence for the importance of emigration, migration, leaving one's land when it's a land of disbelief and polytheism to move to the land of Tawheed. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, the statement of Allah the Most High, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O my servants, those who have believed, إِنَّ أَرْضِي وَاسِعَةٌ, verily my earth is spacious, فَإِيَّايَ فَاعْبُدُونَ, and so to me render all of your worship. That's from Surah Al-Ankabut, the 65th verse. قال البغوي رحمه الله تعالى. البغوي, the Imam of Tafsir, may Allah the Most High have mercy on him, said, سبب نزول هذه الآية في المسلمين الذين بمكة لم يهاجروا. The verse, the incident, or the situation about which this verse was revealed, was the Muslims that remained in Mecca and did not emigrate, meaning to Medina, when that opportunity arose. نَادَاهُمَ اللَّهُ بِاسْمِ الْإِيمَانِ, Allah called them using the name of belief, believers. They are believers. Meaning, they are believers who are weak in Iman, but they are still believers. They are not disbelievers because they did not emigrate. والدليل على الهجرة من السنة قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The evidence for the obligation of hijrah from the sunnah is his statement, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, لا تنقطع الهجرة حتى تنقطع التوبة. Hijrah is not cut off, meaning it does not cease to be an obligation, until tawbah, repentance, is cut off, meaning the opportunity for repentance ends. And when is that? وَلَا تَنْقَطِعُ التَّوْبَةُ, and that does not end until حَتَّى تَطْرُعَ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, and that does not end until the sun rises from its western side. In commentary, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى said, الظاهر أن الشيخ رحمه الله. What seems apparent here is that the Shaykh, meaning the author of Al-Usul al-Thalatha, may Allah have mercy on him, نقل هذا عن البغوي بمعناه. He narrated this, or he quoted this from Al-Baghawi, paraphrasing it by its meaning, not by its exact wording. هذا إن كان نقله من التفسير. That is the case if he's quoting it from his tafsir, and Al-Baghawi had other works as well aside from his tafsir, and so he allows the possibility of the quote being a verbatim word for word quote from other than the tafsir of Al-Baghawi. As he says, إِذْ لَيْسَ الْمَذْكُورُ فِي تَفْسِيرِ الْبَغَوِيِّ, as what has been quoted here is not word for word found in the tafsir of Al-Baghawi لهذه الآية, for this verse specifically, بهذا اللفظ, with this wording. And then the Shaykh mentions here regarding the end of all opportunities to repent. He says, وَذَلِكَ حِينَ انْتِهَاءَ الْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ. That's when all good deeds, the opportunity to perform them is over. المقبولي, the acceptable deeds. When all that is over, the opportunity is finished. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High has said, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. The day that some of the signs of your Lord have come, لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل. Then a soul that did not believe before that, up until that point, then the iman, the faith of that time, will not be of any avail. أو كسبت في إيمانها خيرا. Nor will the soul that has not earned any good through its iman, it will be of no avail at that time. That's from Surah Al-An'am, the 158th verse. وَالْمُرَادُ بِبَعْضِ الْآيَاتِ هُنَا طُلُوعُ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. And the intended meaning of some of the verses, meaning when some of the verses of your Lord have come, that is the rising of the sun from its western side. تَتِمَّ, the Shaykh says. Here's an additional point of study, meaning a complementary, additional point of study that branches off of what has been mentioned up until now. نَذْكُرُ هُنَا حُكْمَ السَّفَرِ إِلَى بِلَادِ الْكُفْرِ. We mention here at this time the ruling on traveling to the lands of disbelief. فَنَقُولُ, we say, السَّفَرُ إِلَى بِلَادِ الْكُفَّارِ لَا يَجُوزُ. That traveling to the lands of the disbelievers is not permissible. إِلَّا بِثَلَاثَةِ شُرُوطٍ. Except along with the fulfillment of three stipulations, three necessary conditions. الشَّرْطُ الْأَوَّلُ. The first condition, أَنْ يَكُونَ عِنْدَ الْإِنسَانِ عِلْمٌ يَدْفَعُ بِهِ الشُّبُهَاتِ. That a person is a man who has enough knowledge to repel the doubts and the false arguments of the disbelievers and the innovators in such a land. الشَّرْطُ الثَّانِي, the second condition that must be fulfilled, أَنْ يَكُونَ عِنْدَهُ دِينٌ يَمْنَعُهُ مِنَ الشَّهَوَاتِ. And that he has enough religiosity that would prevent him from following desires. And it doesn't require him to be a perfectly obedient person, but that he doesn't drown in the sins available widely in the lands of disbelief. الشَّرْطُ الثَّالِثُ, the third condition, أَنْ يَكُونَ مُحْتَاجًا إِلَى ذَلِكَ, that he has some need to do that. And he's going to explain what that means, to have a need to go to the lands of the non-Muslims. And here it's important for us to note here, the Shaykh is addressing here, quite obviously, those Muslims who live in the lands of Islam. That what's the ruling on you traveling from your land on vacation or on a trip to the lands of the disbelievers? This is not addressed at those who are, for whatever reason, living in the lands of the disbelievers at this time. The Shaykh says, فَإِن لَمْ تَتِمْ هَذِهِ الشُّرُوطُ. If these conditions are not fulfilled, meaning all of them, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ السَّفَرُ إِلَى بِلَادِ الْكُفَّارِ, then it is not permissible to travel to the lands of the disbelievers. لِمَا فِي ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ, due to the trials that are found there. أَوْ خَوْفِ الْفِتْنَةِ, or fear of trials. وَفِيهِ إِضَاعَةُ الْمَالِ, and in that traveling, without these conditions being fulfilled, is a loss of money, a squandering of money. لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ يُنْفِقُ أَمْوَالًا كَثِيرَةً فِي هَذِهِ الْأَسْفَارِ. Because a person spends so much money going on these trips. أَمَّا إِذَا دَعَتِ الْحَاجَةُ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. However, if there is a real need to do that, to travel to non-Muslim lands, لِعِلَاجٍ, like for medical treatments, أَوْ تَلَقِّي عِلْمٍ لَا يُوجَدُ فِي بَلَدِهِ, or to gain some knowledge meaning some qualifications and some expertise, some knowledge like medical or certain scientific knowledge on levels that are not available in the lands of the Muslims. They're not available in his land. وَكَانَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ وَدِينٌ. And a man has knowledge, meaning knowledge of his religion, like mentioned already, in order to repel false arguments. And deen, here the meaning of deen is religiosity, a good level of Islamic practice, meaning he takes care of his obligations in a general way, and he resists and he stays away from prohibitions in a general way. عَلَى مَا وَصَفْنَا, as we have already described. فَهَذَا لَا بَأْسَ بِهِ. And then in this case, then, it is not a problem. Meaning those are the conditions again being mentioned. If they are fulfilled, then the conditions are fulfilled. It's permissible. وَأَمَّا السَّفَرُ لِلسِّيَاحَ. As for traveling just for the sake of tourism, في بلاد الكفار, to the lands of the disbelievers, فَهَذَا لَيْسَ بِحَاجَةٍ. And this is something that there is no need for. وَبِإِمْكَانِهِ أَنْ يَذْهَبَ إِلَى بِلَادٍ إِسْلَامِيَّةٍ. And it's possible for a person who wants to travel on vacation to go to some of the Muslim lands. يُحَافِظُ أَهْلُهَا عَلَى شَعَائِرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Wherein the residents of such places, they uphold the outward practices and the things which symbolize the presence of Islam in that land. وَبِلَادُنَا الْآنْ. Our lands at this time. وَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ. And the praise is due to Allah. أَصْبَحَتْ بِلَادًا سِيَاحِيَّةً فِي بَعْضِ الْمَنَاطِقِ. Our lands have become lands that are targeted for tourism in some of the places. فَبِإِمْكَانِهِ أَنْ يَذْهَبَ إِلَيْهَا. And so it's possible for a person, meaning a man living in the lands of the Muslims, to travel within the lands of the Muslims to places which are interesting, and he accomplishes the goal of having a vacation or traveling to get away and enjoy himself. وَيَقْضِي زَمَنَ إِجَازَتِهِ فِيهَا. And he spends his vacation time in those lands. And alhamdulillah, I didn't travel much, but when I lived in Saudi Arabia, just one country, within Saudi Arabia, there were some very beautiful places. There was a place called Ta'if and Hada up in the mountains. Very beautiful, cool weather, parks, very beautiful scenery, cable cars that will take you down through the mountains with what you may have a very difficult time finding the likes of that in non-Muslim lands. Subhanallah. I went to a place called Thuwal, which was close to Jeddah. Beautiful white beaches, perfect white sand, jellyfish, little pink jellyfish floating in the water. You can pick them up and play with them. They're harmless jellyfish. My children were playing with the jellyfish. Beautiful places to go to that are maintained, protected. And in those places, you'll hear the adhan being called still. And you'll meet other Muslims. And you'll establish the salah. And you'll see the presence of Islam even there. And of course, Jeddah is known to you. Many non-Muslims wish to go to the beaches of Jeddah for snorkeling, deep sea diving and things like that. Very amazing coral reef and amazing attractions in the line of tourism. And there are many places like that or similar to that within the country that I was at. And I would assume that a man from Pakistan could mention the places in Pakistan that he could go to and find relaxation and beautiful places. And I'm sure the same can be said about many parts of Africa, India, Egypt, Jordan, places that you can go. Malaysia and Indonesia, they have Islam established there. You can see the Muslims and masjids and hear the adhan. And you see beautiful waterfalls and beautiful nature scenes in those areas. Subhanallah. The lands of the Muslims are rich, walhamdulillah. But there's some disease in the hearts of the people that make them think that we have nothing. The Swiss Alps and the Statue of Liberty in New York City, that's the real tourist attraction. A statue of a human being. Perhaps the biggest statue and tallest human statue on the face of the earth, maybe. And a Muslim wants to go and see a statue. People want to travel to places which are not legislated to travel to. And we have in the lands of the Muslims beautiful places, places that are clean and good, and they have Islam being applied there. Alhamdulillah. No need for us to think that we have nothing. the only real destinations for tourism. Paris, to see the Eiffel Tower and the Swiss Alps and things like this. It's from the weakness of the Muslims that they feel they don't have anything, and the Western people, the non-Muslims, have everything. Wallahu al-musta'an, and that's not the case. And the non-Muslims know that, and they come to the lands of the Muslims on their vacations when they want to see beautiful beaches and beautiful things of nature. Walhamdulillah. The Shaykh continues, and he says, وَأَمَّا الْإِقَامَةُ فِي بِلَادِ الْكُفَّارِ. As it relates to living in the lands of the disbelievers, and this is more relevant to us now, فَإِنَّ خَطَرَهَا عَظِيمٌ عَلَى دِينِ الْمُسْلِمِ. Then the danger of this is very severe. The danger and the possible harm that exists for the religion of a man, for the religion of a Muslim person. وَأَخْلَاقِهِ, and the effects that it would have on his character. وَسُلُوكِهِ, and his behavior. وَآدَابِهِ, his mannerisms. وَقَدْ شَاهَدْنَا وَغَيْرُنَا إِنْحِرَافَ كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ أَقَامُوا هُنَاكَ. And we have witnessed, as others have witnessed, the deviation of many people who have went to live there. فَرَجَعُوا بِغَيْرِ مَا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ. And they've come back with results that are not the intended goal that they went for. رَجَعُوا فُسَّاقًا. They've come back in a different state. They've come back disobedient. وَبَعْضُهُمْ رَجَعَ مُرْتَدًا. Some of them have even come back as apostates. عَنْ دِينِهِ, leaving their religion. وَكَافِرًا بِهِ, rejecting and disbelieving in it. وَبِسَائِرِ الْأَدْيَانِ, even rejecting all religions. وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, and refuge with Allah is sought. Atheists. حَتَّى صَارُوا إِلَى الْجُحُودِ الْمُطْرَقِ. They became people of just absolute rejection of all religiosity. وَالِسْتِهْزَاءِ بِالدِّينِ وَأَهْلِهِ السَّابِقِينَ مِنْهُمْ وَاللَّاحِقِينَ. And people of mockery and disdain for the religion and its people, the people of old who practiced it, and the people of today who practice it. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ يَنْبَغِي بَلْ يَتَعَيَّنُ أَتَحَفَّظُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And thus it is binding. Rather, it is specifically an obligation that we take care of this matter and be on guard against that. وَوَضْعِ الشُّرُوطِ الَّتِي تَمْنَعُ مِنَ الْهَوِي فِي تِلْكَ الْمَهَالِكِ. And that we present conditions and stipulations that would prevent a person from falling down into such traps of destruction. فَالْإِقَامَةُ فِي بِلَادِ الْكُفْرِ لَابُدَّ فِيهَا مِنْ شَرْطَيْنِ أَسَاسِيَيْنِ. So living in the lands of the disbelievers, it's a must that two conditions be fulfilled for that to be permissible. الشَّرْطُ الْأَوَّلُ, the first condition, أَمْنُ الْمُقِيمِ عَلَى دِينِهِ, that the one who resides therein is safe as it relates to his religion. بِحَيْثُ يَكُونُ عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْإِيمَانِ, meaning that he has with him enough knowledge and enough faith, وَقُوَّةِ الْعَزِيمَةِ, and determination to remain firm upon his religion. مَا يُطَمْئِنْهُ عَلَى الثَّبَاتِ عَلَى دِينِهِ, that which gives him stability upon his religion, that which gives him steadfastness and stability upon his religion. وَالْحَذَرِ مِنَ الْإِنْحِرَافِ وَالزَّيْغِ, that which provides him with caution against deviation and going astray. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ مُضْمِرًا لِعَدَاوَةِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَبُغْضِهِمْ, and that he has in mind that he has hatred for the disbelievers. He hates disbelief in disbelievers. مُبْتَعِدًا عَنْ مُوَالَاتِهِمْ, that he's far away from loving them, having allegiance with them, meaning religious loyalty. وَمَحَبَّتِهِمْ, and love. فَإِنَّ مُوَالَاتَهُمْ وَمَحَبَّتَهُمْ, for verily taking them as allies and loving them, مِمَّا يُنَافِي الْإِيمَانَ بِاللَّهِ, are matters that negate faith in Allah. قَالَ تَعَالَى, Allah the Most High has said, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ. You shall not find any people who believe in Allah in the last day having love for those who contradict Allah and His Messenger. Even if those who contradict Allah and His Messenger are their own fathers, their children, their brothers, and their close family. That's from Surah Al-Mujadala, the 22nd verse. Al-Ayah. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى And Allah the Most High has said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى أَوْلِيَاءَ O you who have believed, do not take the Jews and Christians as allies. بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ They are allies unto one another. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ Whoever takes them as allies, then verily he is from them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ Verily Allah does not guide a people who are oppressive. فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ You find those with sickness in their hearts going quickly, hastily off to them, to the disbelievers. يَقُولُونَ نَخْشَى أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ Saying, we fear that some harm may come to us, some deprivation, some loss may come to us. Some of the scholars of tafsir said that means that Muhammad may be defeated and we may lose social status. We may be on the losing side. So they feared being on the losing side. Others said they were afraid of just general losses and trials in this life. فَعَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَ بِالْفَتْحِ So, it is soon to be the case that Allah shall bring about a conquering, meaning the conquering of Mecca, أو أمر من عنده, or an affair from Himself. فَيُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا أَسَرُّوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ نَادِمِينَ So then they will become, regarding that which they used to conceal within themselves, regretful and remorseful. That's from Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses number 51 and 52. Very powerful verses from the Book of Allah. وَثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And it is authentically established from the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, that he said, أَنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ That whoever loves a people, then he is from them. And he said, وَأَنَّ الْمَرْءَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ And that a man shall be with those whom he loves. These narrations are found in Bukhari and Muslim. And today's discussion, subhanAllah, it may seem strange to some people. Those people who have been taking their religion by those trying to appease the non-Muslims in the lands of the non-Muslims. This discussion here, these verses from the Quran, and these narrations from our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they don't prefer to talk about them. They don't like them. They don't want to be able to confront them and learn the understanding that is required from them, from the Book of Allah. They'd rather put them to the side and say, we are required to love the non-Muslim neighbors and we are required to love the Jews and the Christians. And that seems better, more flowery, and more acceptable to the non-Muslims. Yet we know from the speech of Allah Ta'ala, that the Jews and the Christians will not be pleased with us. What? Until when? Until you leave your religion and you follow their religion. وَمَحَبَّةُ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ مَا يَكُونُ خَطَرًا عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ The Shaykh continues and he says, loving the enemies of Allah is from the most severely harmful of matters and most dangerous of all matters to the Muslim. لِأَنَّ مَحَبَّتَهُمْ تَسْتَلْزِمُ مُوَافَقَتَهُمْ وَاتِّبَاعَهُمْ Because loving them requires along with it that you agree with them and that you follow them, meaning in religious matters. أَوْ عَلَى الْأَقَلِّ Or at least, عَدَمَ الْإِنْكَارِ عَلَيْهِمْ Or at least that it requires from a person that he does not have a problem with what they say. وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And this is why the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ Whoever loves a people, then he is from them. And we're going to have to put off our discussion of the rest of this topic until our next meeting. And I would like to remind you that there are real people, perhaps in your cities there in Florida, and we've seen it in our city here in Pittsburgh, people who not only say we are not allowed to hate the Jews and the Christians, we are not allowed to hate people, but they say we are required to agree with them, And it's from upright manners and morals to go to places where Allah is being worshipped with others, places of polytheism, and to show your support for them in their acts of worship. And they call this interfaith dialogue, and they invite Muslims from the houses of Allah, where Allah is worshipped alone, to go into places where polytheism is committed, not to go there to forbid the people from such blasphemy and such terrible behavior, and to invite them to the real reason they've been created, but rather to do what? To approve of their religion, and to show support for their polytheism. And this can never be the deen of a Muslim, as the deen of Islam is the worship of Allah alone. That you say, La ilaha illallah. There is nothing that deserves worship by right. I denounce all objects of worship, everything worshipped, I denounce it. And then I make one exception, illallah, except for Allah. The people who invite to these kinds of events, they invite the Muslims from the houses of Allah to those kinds of events, it is very clear that they do not understand this statement, La ilaha illallah. They may claim to, and they may be people who claim to have a great attachment to this statement, but do they really understand it? When the disbelievers who oppose the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they knew the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They knew that they were being called to abandon all mediums, all intermediaries, all objects of worship on every scale of worship, on every way that something is worshipped. And thus they said, Aja'ala al-aliha ilahan wahida. Has he made all of our objects of worship into one object of worship? And they opposed him, and they fought him, and they knew the meaning of La ilaha illallah while they were disbelievers. And so the author of Al-Usul al-Thalatha in his book Kashf al-Shubuhat, he says, how would there be any good in a person who claims La ilaha illallah as his religion, but the misguided polytheists who fought against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam were more knowledgeable about the meaning of La ilaha illallah than he is. Meaning the disbelievers, they refused to accept La ilaha illallah because they knew what it meant. They knew what it required from them. Yet people today, they say, I know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And they go on supporting and endorsing places of polytheism, groups of polytheists, other religions where Allah is worshipped along with all kinds of ideas. And they say they know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Yet they don't understand what the enemies of Islam had understood and why they resisted accepting La ilaha illallah. Wallahu al-musta'an. The question has come, what's the ruling on traveling in America, within our country here, to national parks and places like tourist attractions? Then the answer is that these things are permissible. There's no harm in doing so, so long as the places are not places where disbelief and polytheism are exonerated and thought well of. Like you might think a national park is just trees and nature, so it's all good. Yet there are some national parks where they have images of presidents carved into the mountains. What's that one called? Mount Rushmore? So Mount Rushmore, I believe, is part of a national park. It's part of some canyons and some natural scenes, right? And it may be very beautiful, but when you see that, gigantic images of the leaders of the disbelieving nation that you live in being carved into the mountain, and this is not a destination for the Muslim to go to and to marvel at the beauty of such a thing or anything like that, but rather camping in state parks and in national parks. It's lovely, fishing in the streams and boating and canoeing and things like this. There's no harm in any of those things, so long as a person upholds his religion, calls his adhan, establishes his salat, fulfills his obligation as a Muslim, and doesn't travel alone. He travels in a group of three or more, and so on. All of the regular, normal stipulations for traveling and journeys are being fulfilled, then he's upon khair, and alhamdulillah for these opportunities that we have, and we end sending salat and salam upon the finest of creation, our Messenger Muhammad, and upon his family and companions, and Allah Ta'ala knows best.